looking at the news analysis, you feel there's so much in the news these days that you wonder what in fact you should include and what you shouldn't include. And I think it's just worth just reminding ourselves, because I have to do that to myself this morning. If you turn over to Matthew 24 and just remember what Christ's words in Matthew 24 are to us. Because he does say here that as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him asking about the things that he was talking about, the temple, and also asking about when these things shall be, when in fact his return would take place as well. And he mentions in verse 4, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many." And he says, "And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end isn't yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and there'll be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in different places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." And the word sorrows is literally birth pains. It's Odin in Greek, and it is in actually birth pains. And what we're looking at is the lead-up. He said, look, don't worry about these things. These things will come, they'll go. And until the time that he's talking about, that he goes into the rest of Matthew 24, where the church has to flee, which is the kind of pivotal part, he said, look, when you were looking at the world, and it talks about the fig tree and looking at the fig tree and making sure when we watch the world of news and the world events, he said that they are to be looked upon as birth pains. And birth pains, they come, they go, they rise, they fall. And he specifies a certain list of them in that section. If we turn over to Revelation 6, Revelation 6, we find that same list mentioned here. And Mr. Armstrong tied across these two passages to give us what we really need to concentrate on when we're looking at the news. Because when we're looking here, we're looking at the horsemen of the apocalypse, and there are seals that are opened up. And it's the lead-in towards the tribulation, which again you mentioned over in Matthew 24. And here in Revelation 6, we find the white horse, and you're looking at it, the person only with a bow and a crown and given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. It ties in with false religions, which is over in Matthew 24. When you're looking at the second seal, you find this horse that was red, and you're looking at war. Again, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and you see these things being mentioned. And Matthew 24, therefore, interprets this section. And then you go into the next horse, and we find a black horse, and you're looking at famine. And then you're looking at the pale horse, and you're looking at pestilence. And then you come into tribulation, the actual time of the tribulation, and then finally the heavenly signs, and then it goes right into the very end time itself. The entirety of Revelation concentrates on this day of the Lord and the area that leads into and goes right the way from the return of Christ. But it's these areas that when we're looking at the world, and we're looking at the news, that we need to concentrate on. They are religion, wars, famine and pestilence. And they come and they go. They rise and they fall. And so what I thought I'd do today is just in the few minutes that I've got before we go into Mr. Armstrong's tape message, is just divide the areas up as far as religion is concerned. In religion, there are many areas that you can look at. The fact that the religion is lacking in today's society within the Western world is part and parcel of it, because that will lead to a resurgence in religion in coming in from the beast power. It will give the impetus, if you like, the Western decadence will give the impetus for the what will come out of Europe. Here we've got this article from this last week. It says, majority of births will soon be out of wedlock. It says, half of all babies will be born to unmarried mothers by 2012 if present trends continue. It says, new research that suggests the rapid erosion of moral and religious taboos. Moreover, fewer than half of families will consist of married couples, and up to a third could be lone parents. So, you know, it is just the slide of the morality. And yet, you know, they don't seem to make the link between it, because on yesterday's paper, it's got the headline on the front page, £150 million plan has failed to cut the teenage pregnancies. And it goes into the article, it says, the £150 million campaign to reduce pregnancies among young girls has been an embarrassing failure. Figures showed yesterday, with ministers under pressure to close the discredited teenage pregnancy unit. And again, you're looking at a totally where's the problem there? Well, the problem is within religion. It's religion that is the problem. Another one from yesterday's paper. It says, God's motherly role. It says, a Church of England bishop has urged Christians to recognise the motherhood of God. The Bishop of Bolton, David Gillett, and God's motherly role was an established element in Christian belief. Now, there is parts where it says, I'll gather you as a mother dangles you, the children on the knee, so I will comfort you in Jerusalem. And yes, there is a certain role there that is mentioned. But is always and always referred to as a father. And the trouble is that the father is being eroded all the time. At the same time, we do have a certain amount of firmness coming in from other sources. There's got an analysis here. It says, Bridget Jones wouldn't like Sharia law, but it might soon be more liberal than Blair's. In other words, he's looking at the type of law. And this was a tongue-in-cheek article written about how basically, if the British Muslims were to have their way, then part of this country would be living under Sharia law. Women would be covering up everything at work. If their husband let them work, sex before marriage would mean up to 100 lashes. Adultery would be punished by stoning. Thieves would lose a hand. Homosexuality would be ousted out of the question. And men who feared disloyalty or ill conduct by their wives would be allowed to beat them lightly. Now, okay, I mean, Sharia law isn't the law to be under. But there is going to be a backlash against what we're seeing within the West at the moment. At the same time, it's understandable for the Muslim to look at the what is in the West, and as I say, this backlash that will occur from the Catholic source as well, because again, you're looking at just a few days ago, Brighton tops the Gay Marriage League. More than 3,500 civil partnerships ceremonies took place between December 21st and January 31st, according to official figures. Brighton and Hove was the most popular place to form a civil partnership. And this kind of thing is being pushed. It's being it is actively being pushed. There's an article back a few weeks ago where it says, Lessons in Gay History for Pupils Age 7. They're literally trying to push this for all they're worth. Children as young as 7 could be taught gay history in a campaign that urges teachers to introduce people to sexual and swear words. And the organisers also want this historical figures labelled as homosexuals, even if there's no evidence. In other words, let's twist the history. Let's make sure that we try and drive this thing further and further down the moral toboggan slide, regardless of what the facts may be. And that is true also as far as abortion is concerned. They did it with that. They're going to do it with this as well. And this, you know, truth is not part and parcel of the equation whatsoever. It is just whatever is expedient, and they will do whatever is expedient. At the same time, again, this idea that let's have a feminine form of God. There's an article back just the end of last year, I clipped it out. It said, this article says, pro-wife courts dispense injustice. And he was talking about the injustice within the courts regarding controversy between the marital partners in the breakup of a marriage. And it says, there's a deep pro-wife bias with every single presumption in our favour. The most being that every wife's contribution to the marriage is deemed to be equal than that of the husband, even when plainly the contrary is true. Now, that was looking at a physical monetary basis. But it's not that. It's the fact that the children are able to be with a mother or being put with a mother, and in very, very rare cases indeed do they go ahead and be given to the father. And there's other articles. There's an article here, this is from in January, about a week or two ago, about the M word is banned. It says, do not mention marriage in case it upsets gay couples. The registry officer staff are being told. So that again is just part and parcel of the slide. Another one from the end of last year, again, lesbian couples were given adoption rights at the end of last year. But we can see that moral slide, which will then have a backlash. And we are looking at a backlash occurring. Now, it's occurring within the Muslim world, but it will occur. It's prophesied to occur within the Christian world, so-called, and specifically within the Catholic Church. Now, when we're looking at war, when we go into the area of war, and we look specifically at what is going on down in Iraq at the moment, we're looking at civil war that is right, they're on the verge of civil war at the moment, which is exactly what Al-Qaeda and the bombings and everything else has been driving for. And the idea that America and Britain won the war, or the forces won the war in Iraq, is absurd. Nobody but nobody would go ahead and look upon that within the opposition in that sense. They realised they couldn't win a conventional war. It's the same as Britain as far as Europe was concerned, as far as Hitler. They were ready in a guerrilla action should Hitler have actually invaded. And it's the same thing. You're looking at a guerrilla action and you're looking at the war is still going on down there. But the civil war in Iraq grows. It says 130 die in one day. This is from Friday. This is yesterday's. And the thing, although they've got a curfew, they cannot, how can you trade? How can you properly have a society that is growing and doing all the other things that they want with a curfew the way they have to impose it? And yet there's this Shia and the two Muslim factions fighting it out on the streets. It says another one, this is from the 13th, from Monday, it says 10,000 would die in an atomic plant attack on Iran. It says the military, it says attack on the 20 key nuclear military facilities, the report says. If the targets include the nuclear reactor at Bushehr, I think it is, which will become fully fueled this year, a radioactivity cloud could spread over the Gulf. Iran's small navy, which includes three submarines, would have to be attacked also to negate threats to vital shipping lanes in the Straits of Hormuz. But Iran could still retaliate with suicide speedboats, possibly leading to crippling rises in the price of oil. So again, you're looking at there something that is going to cause. I mean, this entire area is in turmoil at the moment. And it rises, it falls. It's like a birth pain. It comes and it goes. But they do, it is boiling all the time. Britain, another one here from last week, Britain could be harbouring 20 more Abu Hamzas, who has just been jailed recently. But if that in fact did happen, and as I think I've brought out before, you're looking primarily not so much at that atomic plant. That appears to almost be an excuse for the attack on Iran. The attack on Iran is probably more to do with the fact that Iran is organising an oil stock exchange at the moment, which will be trading in euros. It's an oil bourse, which is the French word for stock exchange, which will be trading in euros. And when that comes online, then you've got a problem. And that goes naturally on to the next area that we need to be looking at continually. Because when you look at famine, you normally think, oh, well, drought and everything else, that's the kind of thing that's going on in northeastern Kenya at the moment and down the eastern side of Africa. You're looking at things like water firms banning hose pipes from next month in south-east of England, which is unheard of almost for this time of year to ban hose pipes down in that area. But there's more to it than that. If we're looking, you see, if the oil is affected, and if the oil starts being sold in euros, and euros starts to becoming the oil currency, the dollar, which is hyperinflated, is going to collapse. Now, they could probably prop it up for a year or so by printing more dollars. It's interesting, there was an article in yesterday's paper. It says, the satellite films North Korea dollar factory. It says, opposition MPs in South Korea yesterday revealed the details of what they said was North Korea's forging of $100 notes, including a photograph of the plant that was printing them. Now, if you really are looking at that, then there's an official country forging dollars, and apparently it makes up the balance of trade. It allows them to go ahead and keep the regime in power by forging $100 notes. But the main forgers of $100 notes are actually the American government. And the reason I say that, and I don't want to offend our American brethren, but the reason I say that is that there is not the substance to back up those notes. Their effect, printing money that has not got the backing behind them, those notes. The way when you had a note initially, you had gold that was deposited in the bank, and you gave a note for the gold that you deposited. There's nothing like that. It's just the hot air. It's just confidence, pure confidence that you're looking at, and therefore the biggest counterfeiter is actually the government that is doing that. It's an interesting article here from January, just a few weeks ago. It says, the US will be hit by a recession next year, says Soros. The investment legend warns that the housing bubble will burst just as monetary squeeze bites. And he goes into an article there talking about how he felt, or he feels, that the recession will bite next year. However, you look at what's going on. You're looking at the triggers. You're looking at this oil bourse and the fact that they're going to have to do something about it. The reason for attacking Iraq was because he was starting to trade in euros also. And you're looking at the real worry is if the dollar goes down, America goes down. You know, the idea of hyperinflation, which is what would happen if the American government just simply printed money to keep up with it, it would last for a year, 2 years, 3 years, or 2.5 years, something like that. But eventually you'll be paying thousands and thousands of dollars for bread. It's the same kind of thing that we witnessed down in Africa. You go to Ghana today and you pay thousands of cedis for about the equivalence of a pound. I think it's about 12,000, 13,000, 15,000, I'm not sure what it is now, but last time we were there it was about 10 or 12,000 cedis to the pound. When independence was declared, it was one cedi to the pound. And the pound has been devalued, so you can see what kind of inflation and what happens with inflation. So you're seeing the trouble that's happening in the Gulf, the pressure on the dollar, and these things can then affect the actual purchasing power of the whole country. They can affect the availability of oil, and you're looking as far as oil is concerned, you can have the Straits of Hormuz closed, effectively, by a war in that area. At the same time, what is happening in one of the largest exporters of oil, the largest exporter of oil in Africa, which is Nigeria, there's a British oil contractor kidnapped by gunmen, and it's pretty close to Port Harcourt, which is where we actually fly into in Nigeria. We don't go down into the Delta area. I would not go down into Warri, for instance. Warri is the hotbed of this. But, you know, this country is, it has vast wealth. It's being siphoned off by its rulers. But it says here, Nigerian militants set up step up attacks and they threaten the president. This is happening. There's an uncertainty. Shell is uncertain, therefore, in that area. And once you get the oil in an uncertain position and the oil, therefore, dries up, the movement of goods, the things that we take for granted here in the West, say in here in Britain, is the flying of food into the country, into the supermarkets. And could well be halted to a large degree. And you're not looking necessarily at huge droughts within the countries. You're looking at the unavailability to transport food. And once that unavailability of food by the transportation comes into bite, and you either don't have the money, or the money is not being recognized, and in addition you have problems with oil, then you have famine, which would in fact start, even within here in the Western world. You're then looking at pestilences, and it talks here, another article from this last week, children of the 70s did twice the exercise the children are doing today. Now that's interesting, because when I look at children of the 70s, they did a fraction of the exercise that we used to do as children. Another one here, number of deaths linked to superbug rises by a quarter. That's another article, and you're looking at these super resistant forms of disease, and that again, once you start to get to a position where anybody that's going into a certain hospital is very, very likely to come out with MRSA, and we have that already in South Wales in certain hospitals, then you're looking at people not wanting to go into hospital. So where are you going to go for your healing? There is no place. Well, there is. It's God, which is the one who is, in fact, our healing God, but we've completely forgotten him. And when the pestilences do come, another article, this is from the 21st February, it says, modern life causes a rise in infections which are spread by animals. That is interesting. It mentions here, it says that It says the developments such as climate change, deforestation, intensive agriculture, livestock farming, keeping exotic pets, and I stress intensive agriculture is probably the main area, exotic pets, urbanisation, increasing global travel are driving the emergence of infectious diseases originating in other animals. So this is a trend that people are witnessing at the moment. One of the such disease is this bird flu, which is right now just banging on our doors here. And it says Europe and the US should prepare for bird flu, says the expert. So we're simply waiting for that. And then the idea is, or the concept is, there'll be a mutation. It will start spreading between humans. And it's interesting. When you're looking at flu, these pandemic flus, it's always in kind of the foreign countries. I think it was Spanish flu before, wasn't it? It was one of them. But nearly always it's kind of Asian flu. It's starting in the Asian countries. But this one could well start in America or Britain. And it could be that they, in fact, boycott anything, including people, including transport. Again, are you going to go ahead and transport food into these places? Are you going to have the dealings with these places? And these then, all of these things, rising and falling, lead into what we term as the tribulation, again mentioned over in Revelation 6. And we can see a steady erosion in liberties, or potential erosion in liberties, all the time. And you see these laws being put into place at the moment, and these laws that are being put in place, you can see almost written in there that as soon as they're necessary, the imposition is going to come down. One interesting one from Monday, this is radio chips in ID cards could snoop on users. He says, fears were raised last night that ID cards could be used to track people's movements after the government confirmed that they would be fitted with radio transmitters. So you're going to have to go ahead and carry your ID card. The modern ID card has a radio transmitter in it, and all you have to do, therefore, is set up the various sites or centres to actually watch that. At the same time, you've got Galileo satellite just gone up, compulsory ID cards by the back door, and it goes on and on. Now you can be arrested for any offence. At the same time, that you know they've got rid of the guns have been removed from the streets of all householders, mainly. However, there's still enormous gun crime that is within the UK, even more than before. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't say enormous, but more than before. Fears as a DNA database expands, and even the chip and pin is going to mean more violence, says shopkeepers. Because they obviously, with chip and pin, it's more secure, therefore you're going to have violence to go ahead and extract the pin number from people. So we're looking at that, we're looking at the way in which the world is moving, and when we're looking at the world, we do need to keep in mind these areas, religion, war, famine and pestilence, which rise and fall as birth pains, leading into the tribulation. But as I hope I've shown you, it's not just these specific areas. There are the related areas as well that all have a bearing on that.